Welcome back to Shattering Mystery. Very grateful to have IQR Rasuli stay over and do another segment. Hopefully he can stay on even longer. IQ, we ended the last segment saying that beyond doing what you and I do, which is to expose and condemn the religion of Islam, is there anything that the world can do to avoid this becoming World War III and involving the whole world based on what's happening in Syria and Iraq today? IQ, are you still with us? I don't know why we...
Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Did you hear the question? I tried for 30 years to think of an alternative.
Right.
I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's my conclusion. I think it's yours as well. That every time that we engage militarily, which is all the only options that America is looking at right now, are military options. Before I we pursue this, you may not have been listening, and if you weren't, that good for you. But during the break, SRN, which is Salem Radio News, it's a Christian news agency. It's despicable. They had a military expert say that the secular divide in Iraq isn't resolvable because it's over 2,000 years old. How can somebody be that out of touch with reality? It's probably even made a mistake by 700 years because the divide didn't begin initially. The divide, as you know, began after Muhammad's death. But how could somebody claim to be an expert on these subjects and be that out of touch with reality? Islam is not 2,000 years old, not even close.
Correct. That's why when somebody introduces me as an expert on Islam, I tell them I'm not an expert, I'm knowledgeable, because I despise experts. I've found out throughout my life of research, the minute somebody says or is described as an expert, turns out to be incompetent.
Yeah, let me tell you something that I'm going to go one step further, because this is a really difficult subject that we're talking about. The reason I feel so comfortable with you is that there's lots of people that know as much about Islam as you do. There's people that know as much about world history and world affairs as you do. The thing that makes you unique and special is that you've gone beyond knowledge to make connections. You're an extremely rational person, so you've gone from evidence using reason to understand. And so you understand Islam. And by understanding it, it puts you in a position of maybe a half a dozen people in the world today.
With all due respect, and I don't sound arrogant, I am Islam's psychological profiler. I can be Muhammad anytime I want to. I can be Ayatollah Khomeini anytime I want to.
Correct.
I go in their spirit, I go in their mind, and they come out of it.
Right.
I know it sounds maybe ridiculous, but it isn't ridiculous.
But it is. It isn't.
A psychological profiler in crimes, that's exactly what they do.
Right.
They go into the mind of the criminal.
Correct.
They become the criminal.
Right.
So then this way they can anticipate what the criminal is going to do in the future.
Yeah, it was the reason why, and I have that same capacity. It's the reason why when America was experienced 9/11, that I was desperate to meet with George Bush before he declared war on Al-Qaeda and Afghanistan, because I knew what the consequence of that was going to be. And I knew what the consequence was going to be of us invading Iraq, because I understand, as you do, Islam and the mindset of Muslims. It was absolutely obvious to me, as it was to you, that we would be in exactly this spot based upon that stupid decision to invade Afghanistan and Iraq. There was no way to avoid where we are today. And where we are today is on the precipice of World War III and complete destruction of civilization. And that sounds hard for people. You know, most people, IQ, live in a world where, well, you know, this is my normal. I woke up today and I was able to go to work, and, you know, the grass is green. It'll need mowing this weekend, and the kids have issues, and they don't do their home. You know, their world is that's their normal. I go to work because I owe and I have to make my credit card payment this month. That's their normal. But I'm telling you, and I think you are as well, that that normal is within maybe a decade of ceasing to exist. And it's going to cease to exist because we lit a fire in Iraq and Afghanistan that cannot be put out.
I agree with you. I can't disagree with you because we are on exactly the same wavelength. You tried your best. You told me you were in 1,500 or more interviews.
Yes.
And nobody listened.
No.
And yet you were correct. They were all wrong.
Right.
I am correct, and they are all wrong.
Right.
But they would rather listen to Obama, the pathological liar, because he tells them what they want to hear.
Right.
You and I tell them, look in the mirror and see how ugly
right.
you are, and they don't want to
right.
look in the mirror.
Of course. Yeah. Back at the time that I started doing this, and I did 2,500 hours of talk radio interviews over the first 7 or 8 years that I did this, plus wrote the 3 or 4 books on Islam, and everything that I said was going to happen has happened. There isn't anything that I predicted that hasn't happened exactly as I said it was going to occur 12 and 13 years ago. And you'd think that after doing that almost 3,000 times and having millions of people around the world read the books, that there would be more people trying to make a difference than there are.
Because our leaders are the failure.
Oh, they're complete failures. Complete, incompetent, moral failures.
America did not lose the war in Vietnam because the armed forces were not good enough. America lost the war in Vietnam because of the incompetence of the leadership. America lost the war in Afghanistan, in Iraq, because of the leadership, the political leadership. Never the army.
Yeah, but,
I remember Schwarzkopf.
But the army could not... You could have deployed the U.S. military unencumbered by U.S. politicians in Vietnam or in Iraq or in Afghanistan for 1,000 years and put 1 million troops in all of those places and have them stay for 1,000 years. And there is no way to win against a zealous enemy, a religious or politically motivated zealous enemy, with bullets and bombs. The military is the wrong tool.
We don't disagree. I said it. We agree.
Yeah.
100%. But we are failing, you and I.
Yes, we are.
We are failing. Not because we are failures. It's because nobody is willing to listen to the simplest and cheapest way in life and money to destroy Islam.
Correct.
It is by discrediting it. By showing it for what it is, vile. It's not a religion. It's a piece of a belief system. It is hate mongering, war mongering, misogynist, racist, intolerant, ungodly.
Right.
It's that simple. It's not complicated.
Anybody who reads the Quran and reads the Hadith will understand Islam and will understand that it is utterly repulsive. That it is so stupid that if anybody would take the time to understand it and expose it for what it is from a public rostrum. And you get enough people doing it, Islam will cease to exist because it is way too dumb to fool people unless it's imposed on them.
Yes.
But unfortunately, in the Islamic world where it's imposed on them, you have a bunch of walking zombies that are going to continue to fight and kill and torture and rape until somebody kills them.
Yaga.
Yes.
I have a dream.
Yes.
Martin Luther had a dream.
Yes.
I need half an hour, literally half an hour, prime time television to discuss Islam. Half an hour. It will never recover. The only alternative is 12 of the most scholarly Muslims to come either against you or against me, or against both of us, prime time television. 1 hour.
Yeah.
Islam will be finished.
Yeah. The challenge of all of that, IQ, and this is the reason why I don't think there is a solution to this. I don't think there's any way to resolve it. That while evidence and reason wielded against Islam would destroy the religion and we don't have to fight any bullets and bombs would no longer be required if we were to expose it and condemn it, the world's leaders are not going to do that. They are so delusional, so set in their ways, they are not going to do it, and they're going to continue to try to fight this foe with bullets and bombs, and the overwhelming preponderance of Americans and Europeans agree with them that the military is the way to resolve this issue.
Well, I tried to get in touch with the Chinese government in Europe, because what's happening in China now is becoming extremely serious. The jihadi movement in China, they're killing hundreds of Chinese, not 10.
Correct.
And the Chinese are retaliating by killing thousands of the other side.
That's
correct. And I'm telling them, you are not ever going to resolve the problem this way. No way.
Correct. Correct. But the Chinese leadership don't want to take the time to study Islam. They're unwilling to do so.
They don't want to listen. I don't want them to study. If they listen to you and listen to me for 1 hour, we don't need more than 1 hour. They don't have to study Islam. All I need to show them is 10 verses of the Quran. 10.
Right.
I don't need more than 10 verses of the Quran. قَاتِلُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ Chapter 9, verse 29 is more than enough.
It says,
against all human beings who do not believe in Allah and Muhammad. That's 80% of humanity. Right. I don't need more than that.
Yes.
You and don't need more than that.
And for someone says that, well, there are vicious verses in the Bible, which you'd immediately say is not one of them deals with any place outside of the tiny strip of land of that is Israel. Not even none of them deal with anything more than a half a dozen communities within Israel. And they all dealt with a time that was well over 2,000, well, almost 3,400 years ago. And they're not open-ended. So you can't make the comparison.
You can't, and the Torah tells you exactly which people.
Right.
And those people don't exist anymore.
Right. Which people? What time? In what community?
Absolutely.
And for what reason? And it happened to be because if you have rats that are poisoned with a religion as deadly as Islam, and you try to move into a house that is poisoned with vermin like that, they're going to kill the people that move into the house. It's just, if you don't extinguish Islam, it will continue to kill. That was Yahweh's purpose back then. IQ, I don't know if you can stay. If you can, I'd love to have you stay.
I will.
Okay, wonderful. We're talking about the end of civilization as we know it, and it is happening right before our eyes. We'll return with IQ Al-Rasuli. Welcome back to Shattering This. IQ, I want to challenge you on something. There's an area that you and I disagree. It's because perhaps that I've spent more time studying the influence of politics and religion. You're of the conclusion that since Islam is so vicious, that is, it's so foolish, it is so utterly false, and so incompatible with civilization, that given an hour's time, whether it be in a debate with Muslims or just in a presentation of the religion that would have a large audience, that you could utterly destroy the religion. And while I would agree that you could utterly destroy the religion in that hour's time, as could I don't think it would have the effect that you anticipate. And let me share with you why. People who are naturally prone to be political or religious are not affected by evidence and reason. And so you would use evidence and reason, and you would expect your audience to respond to evidence and reason. If someone understands Islam the way it is, the religion as it was lived by Muhammad, you would know that there is no way to extinguish what is happening in Syria and Iraq, and that it's going to lead to World War III, and that hundreds of millions of people are going to die. It's irrefutable. But I'm concerned that most people are immune to evidence and reason because they're either political or religious. And that political correctness, which has so infected Europe and the United States, that political correctness, which is the indoctrinated nature of the educational systems and on both continents, is such that it's rendered people unwilling to exercise good judgment and therefore to be rational. What do you have to say to that?
Okay. My purpose in the last 30 years was never to convert Muslims, because I know for a fact that if I have one in a million of them change, it should be a miracle. No, my purpose is to educate the non-Muslims. And this is more important. Why? Because Afghanistan, Pakistan, Indonesia are not a threat to America or Europe or anywhere else. The threat is within us. That means the Muslims who are in our countries, they are the threat. And how many of them? Only 50 million. Only 50 million who are threatening almost 5,000 million people. So all I'm saying, I think we can change people. Yes, we can. Not the Muslims. I'm not interested in them. But there are people now who are waking up. Look what happened in England. A party called UKIP, of nothing, out of nothing, became the third most powerful party. Marine Le Pen in France. It was supposed to be anti-Semitic, anti-this and anti-this. It is now a powerful party. People are waking up. They've had enough of Islam. Muslims come to Europe. They come to America. I've heard about many times about America. Somalis, who are taxi drivers, who will not allow an American, if he's carrying a bottle of wine, to go into the taxi. Personally, I mean, if I were an American government, I would not only take away his license, I would send him back to Somalia.
Now, let me respond to that. I've actually know that there have been many thousands of Muslims worldwide that have given up Islam based upon the audio version of Prophet of Doom. It is read far more frequently in Islamic countries, particularly in Iran. The highest readership per capita of Prophet of Doom was in Iran. And so there are lots of people who have given up Islam based upon Prophet of Doom. Now, that being the case, I did not write Prophet of Doom primarily to awaken Muslims, but primarily to awaken non-Muslims. But here's what I have found. But here's what I have found. So you and I agree on that, that a good Muslim, you can't resolve the issue. A good Muslim is a lost soul that is better off not being here. There's nothing we can do to redeem them. Now, the reality is that the vast majority of people in our world are either overtly religious or political. And while I will agree with you that there is an awakening, that's why I began this program by saying that we're speaking to the fastest growing and most important segment of society. There is an awakening amongst individuals worldwide, in the West, I should say, that government is failing them, that religion is failing them, that these things are no longer productive, that they are counterproductive. It's a huge and growing segment of society. And there are some of those, IQ, that are in that position because of evidence and reason. But most, I don't think so. I think it's most are, I want to go back to a different period. I want the foreigners out of here. We'll return after the break. Welcome back to Shattering Mystery here with IQ, Al Rasuli. We're talking about what can be deployed to stop what we see is inevitable, which is the conflict in Iraq and Syria, ultimately leading to World War III and hundreds of millions of people dying as a result. IQ, we're talking about the fact that the only effective tool to stop the Islamic assault on the world is evidence and reason, words wielded wisely. My concern is that having not only criticized the Islamic religion, but found the massive flaws that are also permanent within Judaism and Christianity, is that what I have experienced, IQ, is that there is no religious person that is capable of processing evidence and reason. And that the same thing is true with overtly political individuals. Politics becomes their religion. you can present them all the evidence in the world. For example, if you're a liberal Democrat, you're in favor of Obama, you and I can present a mountain of evidence that proves that Obama is complicit in the problem, and it won't resonate with them. So the only audience that we have that we can prevail with are agnostics who haven't been utterly compromised by political correctness. Now, there's a lot of them, and we can make a huge difference in their lives. But I think that's the extent of our audience. Would you disagree?
I don't disagree, but I'll tell you something. I'm more positive than you are.
Okay.
I honestly believe if you have 12 of the highest authorities on Islam confronting you,
yes,
that on prime time television, which will go viral, I mean, it will go viral. There's absolutely no doubt about that one. So you're not going to only watch in America. It will go universal. You are going to beat the crap out of them. Not with shouting and insulting. Not at all. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what it says in the Quran. And you put the question to the authority, the imam. When the Quran says infidels, what does the Quran mean by infidels? What is he going to answer? Tell me.
No,
it's 80% of current humanity.
Right.
And what does it say about infidels in next verse? Kill them, slaughter them. Why? Because we are just animals. You tell me that it is impossible to affect people. I think it will affect a lot of people.
Yeah.
I honestly believe in my mind, I have absolutely no doubt about it.
Yeah.
That either you or I, or the together, we can change history.
Yeah. And
we can change it within an hour.
Yeah, and I've told you that I've done between 2,500 hours and 3,000 hours of this. And
support, we are a different level now.
Right, and supported it with thousands of pages of documentation on the Prophet of Doom site. And you may know that the Prophet of Doom site has been down now for months because it is attacked so vociferously by Muslims. The denial of service attacks have it so that it's impossible for us to bring the site back up, because what are Muslims afraid of? They're afraid
of the truth.
They're afraid,
truth.
Right. And what is Prophet of Doom? It presents the truth about Islam, and they're deadly afraid of it, because it is the one thing that destroys the religion. Since I think it is unlikely that we're going, well, I think it is absolutely imperative, IQ, that we continue to do what we're doing, to try to awaken those who are open to evidence and reason. Since I think that it is unlikely that we're going to prevail at the highest levels of media, highest levels of academia, highest levels of political government, and highest levels of the military, I think it is highly likely that what we have witnessed over the last 10 years relative to Islam is going to continue. That being the case, is there any way that the traditional methods of dealing with Islamic terrorism, which has been the deployment of militaries, is there any chance that that will work in the future, where in the past it's only made the situation worse?
No, it will never work. It will never work. And from the scenario you're giving me, which is an extremely negative scenario, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying it's negative. We are definitely heading for World War III.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about the 10 years' time. I'm talking in the next few, a year or maybe 2 years at the maximum.
Yeah. And we're heading for World War III largely because Obama made a catastrophic series of mistakes. So did George Bush. But the combination of George Bush and Obama's catastrophic mistakes, the invading of Afghanistan and the implication that 9/11 was perpetrated by al-Qaeda rather than fundamentalist Islam, and that Afghanistan played a role, was a catastrophic mistake, because it pushed the fundamentalist Muslims out of Afghanistan into Pakistan, where they are now doing the same thing in Pakistan that we're witnessing in Iraq. And they're going to take over that country, and they have nuclear weapons. The invasion of Iraq and deposing Saddam Hussein, who was extraordinarily effective against fundamentalist Muslims, was an unmitigated disaster. But so was arming the Shias, the Sunnis in Syria to fight the Shias. That when Obama gave this speech in Cairo, telling Muslims that this was their time, that they had a great religion and that this was their time to rise, that lit a spark that has galvanized the fundamentalist Islamic world. And then you augment that with the fact that America has supplied them with hundreds of billions of dollars worth of weaponry. I don't know how you put that genie back in the bottle.
You can't. Obama opens Pandora's box. Obama, not Bush. We finished with Bush. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
We realized big mistake, invasion of
yes.
Iraq.
Right.
It's done.
Yes.
Obama precipitated it by leaving Iraq unprepared. They can't
but
even defend themselves.
But had we invested another $1 trillion in Iraq, had we sacrificed another 7,000 American lives in Iraq, we could never have left Iraq able to defend itself. There's just, it was, once we gave Iraq to the Shias in Tehran, there was nothing we could have done in Iraq that would have made the situation better. It's the same thing with Afghanistan. We could stay in Afghanistan for another 100 years. We could put 100 million troops there. We could invest $1 trillion a year in Afghanistan. The moment we leave, the Taliban returns to power.
The Taliban have already returned to power.
Yeah, okay, well, agreed. So the same thing was true with Iraq. We broke Iraq, and the obvious consequence of breaking Iraq is exactly what we're witnessing in Iraq today, and we ought to care, because all the lives that are being extinguished because of our stupidity, of American stupidity, and it's not going to stop in Iraq. You know, for those who say, you know, Muslims, we don't care if Muslims kill Muslims. Big deal. Because, as you know, they're not going to stop in Iraq. They're not going to stop in Syria. They will go to Jordan.
Their declaration has been for 1,400 years is to dominate the whole of humanity.
Correct.
Then, you know, they're going to stop.
Right.
They want the caliphate. Whatever that means. It's all bullcrap anyway, but they speak about caliphate. You know, another thing that we have to even think about, really, we only have 50 million Muslims who are threatening us, literally. And had America been energy independent from the Middle East?
Correct.
And Obama is not allowing America to be energy independent?
Correct.
We would not need all those Muslims to be with us?
Correct.
So we are losing both ways.
Yeah.
We are losing the intellectual and religious war and the economic self-dependent war. According to the latest figures that I've been reading, shale oil in the United States and shale oil in Israel and shale oil in Canada trump all the oil in the Middle East.
Except for the fact that we aren't extracting it. So the fact that we're not extracting, we're not extracting it. We're not drilling.
Yeah.
You know, back when I wrote Tea with Terrorists, this was in the fall of 2001, immediately after 9/11, because I interviewed with Al-Qaeda and other Islamic terrorist organizations, and I found out why they were killing us. And so back in the fall of 2001, I said the first thing that you have to do if you want to resolve the problem of Islamic terrorism, and you could eliminate Islamic terrorism, and you could eliminate these wars in 30 days if you were to first expose and condemn Islam in the media, in politics, in the military, and in academia, with the things that we're doing. If it were to be done ubiquitously in all of those environments. But the second thing you'd have to do is you would have to take the OPEC control in the Islamic world. You'd have to use your military just to keep the funds that come from oil from going to mosques, which are indoctrinating today's and tomorrow's terrorists. And if you were to use that money for positive humanitarian things, as well as to bridge the gap to energy independence for the rest of the world, which would have been easy. You know, rather than spending $4 trillion on the war, if we had spent $1 trillion on energy independence, we would no longer be funding our own demise. Islam dies the moment that OPEC ceases to be able to fuel it.
Absolutely true. unbelievably true. It's so simple. It's really so simple.
Right.
Without oil, there would have been no Islam.
Correct. Well, Islam would exist. It just would have no means of exporting its hell. Yeah. It would have, and the fight that we're witnessing right now in Syria and Iraq, and that we're going to witness in Israel and Jordan and the rest of the world, that fight would be such that it would be they would be killing thousands of people, and they wouldn't be killing anyone other than themselves, as opposed to hundreds of thousands and soon millions of people. Because the money enabled them to buy American military hardware.
Correct. It's so simple. It really is so simple.
Yes.
We keep saying it's so simple, and it is simple.
Right. Tell the truth about Islam and stop the funding of Islam by changing the world's energy perspective and scenario. And changing the world's energy situation is an extraordinarily easy thing to do. It is not hard. And so the very fact that no one's willing to change the energy equation away from OPEC and Islam, and that no one is willing to tell the truth about Islam, it does cause one to wonder whether or not the leaders of the free world are actually deliberately working against our interests.
Question is why?
Why? Because we could resolve this problem. If you and I were given the opportunity to be king for a month for the world, we could resolve both problems and completely end the threat of World War III and Islam. But the world is working against us. Welcome back to Scattering Mist. We have IQ Arizuli on for another 6 minutes here. IQ, the news is that the Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani, just within the hour, told Shia Muslims to pick up weapons and to defend their religion and their country.
Fantastic.
With that being the case, now he was, by the way, the Grand those listening to us know, the Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani was never, all from the time that America invaded Iraq to this moment, never once ordered his Shias to pick up weapons. Sattar did, who was the junior Ayatollah, but never al-Sistani, because al-Sistani recognized that if he kept his troops alive and his ammunition supplied, that he would be able to use it one day as he's going to use it now. And he realized that if he just kept quiet, he would end up with total control over Iraq based upon the U.S. invasion, and he got exactly what he calculated he was going to get. But now he's told his Mujahideen to fight. That being the case, will the Sunnis attempt to capture Baghdad? And if they attempt to capture Baghdad, can they prevail against the they will have more weapons and better weapons? Can they capture Baghdad, which is a majority Shia?
I don't think so. I think that would be the end of the Sunni insurgency. I know you might not agree with me.
I honestly believe, with Sistani,
as you said, for all these years he kept quiet, and now
yes.
he has asked them to go on jihad. Iran will help them. There's absolutely no doubt Iran will help them. Forget about Obama and Europeans and all
right.
that garbage talk. Iran will help them to destroy this insurgency, and they will do it.
Well, you know, and my view is that that they won't be able to destroy it. I do agree with you. I do agree with you that that taking Baghdad will be extraordinarily difficult because the Shia presence in Baghdad and how well they're armed. But now, if you look at Iraq and you realize the influence of Saudi Arabia and the wealth of Saudi Arabia, the wealth of Qatar and the weapons trading of Qatar and Kuwait, they also have a lot at stake here. They want the Sunnis to prevail over the Shias. Don't you think that they will also begin to send weapons and jihadists in, and that this isn't going to go down easily or quickly?
Maybe I put I used the wrong word. Uh-huh. I didn't say they will exterminate them.
Uh-huh.
What I said is they will stop the movement into occupying the whole of Iraq. They will continue to be in the west of Iraq. There's no question, because that's where
and,
the Sunnis are.
And the north. The west and the north.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They will continue, but they will stop them from going into the Baghdad and into the south of Iraq, for 100% sure.
So what we're going to see is that Syria and Iraq are going to continue to be a war zone, a proxy war between Sunni and Shia Islam, and that this is going to be an open sore with hundreds of thousands of people dying with no end in sight.
Correct. It's a slaughterhouse and millions of them refugees in their own country.
Yes. Yes. So,
I'm sorry we are ending with such bad scenario, but we have no choice. That's the way it's going to be.
And every time Obama opens his mouth about what he's planning on doing, or Boehner on the other side says what we, John McClown opens their mouth and says what we ought to be doing, everything they're saying is not only a lie, it's counterproductive.
Absolutely.
That at this point,
they cannot interfere, they should not interfere, because it's not going to succeed. Let them kill each other.
So what we should do morally is to say we made a terrible mistake by invading. We broke the country. Our military was counterproductive in Iraq. We left the region in a mess, and it's deadly now because we're supplying so many weapons to both sides that the only thing that we can rationally do at this point is to completely extricate ourselves, because everything we've done thus far has been counterproductive.
Agreed.
And what is the...
Let them fight it. Let them fight it. Let them finish it.
Right. And I don't think they will finish it. I don't think it can be finished. I think it will just continue to be fought. And that ultimately, IQ, we may disagree on this, but I think ultimately the Sunnis prevail because they outman the Shias 4-1, and they're, in terms of armaments, they have 10 times the weaponry. That Sunni Islam has 10 times the weaponry, 4 times the manpower, and that ultimately Sunni Islam will prevail. They'll establish their caliphate, and then we will have World War III. Did you agree?
I don't think they will have ever the caliphate. The humanity will not allow, 80% of humanity will not allow 20.